Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, Senior Analyst with The Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Patrick Schutt, CEO of Capital Growth Systems, VBA Global Capacity. Company trades over-the-counter ticker symbol CGSY. And I'd like to thank you for joining us today, Patrick.
Oh, thank you for having us, Juan. We're very excited to be on your show.
Great. Now, I'll start off about by talking about the company's recent acquisitions and what it means for your business proposition.
Great. Well, the company's made really Capital Growth has acquired four companies during the past let's call it 2.5 years. The most recent one is the one that is probably the most intriguing for your audience, which was the acquisition of Universal Access, which traded under the name of Vanco Direct. It was a business that was generating around, let's call it $47 million of revenue and about $3.5 million of EBITDA. And we were able to acquire that company for roughly $15 million, $12 million of cash and a $3 million note to acquire that asset. Prior to that, we had acquired a company by the name of CenterPath that had had about $190 million of equity sunk into that company, and we had acquired that business for around $7 million. It was, of course, at the time a privately held company. And the other two acquisitions that we had made were less than sort of $11 million of total acquisition price. But we had completed those transactions in the fourth quarter of 2006. So the most recent one was the acquisition that took place in the fourth quarter of 2008. So on a consolidated business, this is a company that's gotten effectively $450 million of invested capital that we've acquired for approximately $30-odd million. So pretty good from buying assets that were in the marketplace that were available to us. The second is that we bought roughly 350 global-type clients. And the third is we've got a business that on a trailing business for 2008 – on a consolidated basis, looks like a business that was sort of $72 to $75 million on a trailing basis, and a business that has a nice growth rate for 2009.
Great, and give us a brief background on the company.
So actually, let me give you a brief background on the business model. In 1990,
sure.
Myself. A number of other folks started a company called Universal Access. Universal Access was the fifth fastest growing technology company between 1997 and 2002 on the Deloitte and Touche Fast 500 program, publicly held companies. And the business model was really quite simple. The telecommunications market is a quite a large marketplace. It's multiple trillion dollars in size. And it's a market that is fairly fragmented, and you'll probably know this from people that have mobile phones to fixed line phones to cable. All of that rolls up into the greater telecommunications market. We specifically focus around the global telecom access market, otherwise known as the last mile. And because there's no one provider that owns all of the last mile connections, companies have to buy and sell from each other. So our company has a business proposition that makes that much more efficient, simple, and cost-effective by using our company's software and algorithms to be able to do it better, faster, and less expensively than procuring that on their in their sort of own in their own shops. The company itself makes money by doing it in by using this information that we've been able to gather in these algorithms that we've created. We make money both by selling the software as well as taking positions in the market specific to extending the network presence for our clients. So a great example of that would be where a phone company like a U.S. company trying to extend services. So you could take someone like a Level 3 trying to extend services for a company like American Airlines and trying to extend those services into Brazil. What they would use us for in an example like that, and they're not customers, so I can use them as examples, you would use the software to say what's the best route, what's the best price for me to deliver that service into that particular market. And we'll either make money by charging for that price, so a software as a service type business model, or we will make money by actually procuring and delivering it and managing that for the client on a monthly recurring basis. So we feel that we have a business model that works very well when clients are seeking ways to save money. And during today's economic times, every client that we talk to is seeking ways to reduce cost and become more efficient. And we also have a model that allows them to rely on us to do it for them. So efficient, scale, all of the rest of the things that are attractive to a client in the marketplace.
Certainly sounds like a win-win. And in terms of, talk about some of the emerging trends right now in the market and how well-positioned the company is to capitalize on them.
Yeah, so you hear a lot of companies and a lot of people talking about what is the next technology, what's the latest and greatest to get me to market more efficiently. And you talk about global Ethernet, and you also, companies talk a lot about the MPLS marketplace, and you also hear a lot about wireless. The thing that's important, Juan, on this discussion is that our company is looking at all of those technologies as we think of ourselves in a position to enable, because whether you're wireless or whether you're talking about multi-protocol layered switching, whether you're talking about Ethernet, all of that still has to get to the last mile. It still has to get to where the customers are physically located, which is this global access market space. So the trends are, let's get there better, faster, less expensively, but you still have to deal with the last mile bottleneck. And that's where we feel our systems are best positioned to help our clients to do that proactively, efficiently, effectively, and most cost effectively. The trends that are driving that are people want more and more and more capacity. Whether you're talking about communities of interest networks, so where you talk about media, or you talk about the healthcare networks in specific, those are the big trends are saying, you know, how do you get communities of interest to get to these MPLS networks? It's all around solving the access problem, and we think we're very well positioned to solve the access problems for these community of interest to get to these more efficient global highways.
Great. And so what differentiates Capital Growth Systems on DBA Global Capacity from other players in your sector?
I think that's a great question, Juan, in the sense that when we look at how we monetize our information platform, I would first start by saying that we're the only company in the world that actually has a global access database with all of the information from all the different countries and all the different tariffs. So when you think of a analogous model, you'd think of something like a Sabre system for airlines or an Orbitz, or you'd think of it as a Bloomberg-type model. That's what the company has created, is an intellectual property around the market-based price and tariff-based price and the methodologies of delivering access. That is precisely what the company has amassed from the acquisitions through these four companies. How we differentiate from competition, it's really the internal departments at phone companies who are the competition, and the primary difference is that the phone companies will use certain tools, but in general, they're much more manual, which leads to a couple of things. Number one, it leads to inefficiency, and then it leads to delay, and it also leads to potential inaccuracies of how pricing and delivery is established. So we feel that we're well positioned to help phone companies, integrators, and the multinationals be able to get the most efficient and effective pricing. And again, from a pure competitive perspective, because we have this data set, we feel we're kind of in a nice little zone, and that the kinds of companies that will come up to try to compete will be companies that are trying to replicate the data sets that we've created over the last 10 years.
Sure. And in terms of future growth, will you look to grow organically? Will you look for more M&A activities, or will it be a combo of both?
No, it really is organic. One, the company has done a tremendous amount of acquisitions, and quite frankly, we are in the last stages of the integration. And as you're well aware, integration takes some time. It's painstaking, and you know it's something where it requires a lot of management's attention. Once that's done, you know the effort of management is to focus on further penetrating our existing 350 customers, further going to market with the community of interest clients that we already have, and spreading that out on an organic basis, and continuing to get our messaging out into the market space. So you're going to see the company very heavily focused on organic growth. If you go back to that Deloitte & Touche around this model and our growth rate, we had greater than a 17,000% organic growth rate during the periods of 1997 to 2002, because the business grew from literally a startup at zero revenues to $144 million run rate in 4 years, and we had only made one acquisition, which was really only contributing $2 million of the $144 million run rate. So from a growth perspective, we feel that the model is very, very well positioned, and in many ways, how I try to position this with institutional investors is that we've just now got the piece parts together, and as a trailing $72 million business, we feel we're sort of in that startup phase where you can start to really accelerate and create strong growth, because we have a fairly well-established base of clients, but it's nowhere near as penetrated as I'd like it to be, and there's a fairly large, fragmented, fractured marketplace where we feel that there's plenty of opportunity to grow. I mean, the greatest example here, one, is our specific market in the greater multiple trillion-dollar marketplace is literally $200 billion in size. So as a sub-$100 million company, we have plenty of room to grow on an organic basis, and we feel we're well-differentiated with our products, our tools, our processes, and our people.
Well, great answer, and perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience, Patrick, as well as that of some of the key management team.
Yeah, certainly. There's really from the executive staff, we have a set of managers that have been together really since the 90s with this business model at different times at different places, all with slightly varying experience. Our chairman, Bob Pollan, was one of the original four founders of Internet Capital Group. He was with GE Capital. He ran a number of businesses over time, including working on restructurings and turnarounds in Eastern Europe. Our president, who focuses on the regulatory, legal, HR aspects of the company, as well as our procurement, was a trained lawyer as well as investment banker with Credit Suisse, and he was one of my original board members. His name is George King. And then myself, I really started my career in 1991 in the communications industry, working with Sprint Cable Wireless and a company called Teleport Communications Group, which was a Staten Island-based CAP, and that's really where we really got the idea for this business model. And then in 1997, I co-founded the company Universal Access and grew that company, took it public with Goldman Sachs in March of 2000. And that was a company that had a market valuation at the time of greater than $6 billion in size, with revenues that had grown from that zero to $144 million run rate in that four-year period of time. In 2002, George King and myself left to co-found a company that was privately held called 2020 Technologies. That original co-founded business is now sitting inside of Global Capacity today with the intellectual property that we've acquired along the way. So I've really been in this model one since really 1997, and the team around me has been with me pretty much the entire time. And Bob Pollan, Internet Capital Group, was actually our initial venture investment in, I guess it was late December of 1998. So this is a group of people that have been together forever. And quite frankly, a lot of the people that are within the company today have been together for greater than sort of 5-6 years.
Well, it sounds like a very close-knit group. And what specific milestones or objectives has the has management set for the company over the next year?
Yeah, so on a publicly stated basis, we've said we want to grow the business to sort of $100 million in size, and that we want to create EBITDA that sort of ranges from the 10 to 20% EBITDA, and it's based upon product mix. That's why there's such a wide spectrum. We've got three products, one that allow, which we say creates difficulty in forecasting the specific numbers. In terms of the EBITDA, and the reason being is that we have a product for software as a service that's sort of a 90% gross margin. We have an optimization, which is a one-time cash payment, but 90% gross margin. And then we have a monthly recurring predictable revenue that has sort of margins that range from 20 to 40%, and, you know, highly predictable, but lower margin, which makes, you know, as we've talked to the analysts, we've got a predictable business and a non-predictable business. We say the predictable business is sort of a $75 million business, and that the non-predictable business is sort of a $25 million business. The more non-predictable you get, obviously, the better your margins become. So that's sort of the financial aspect. The commercial aspect is to really, number one, build a world-class client services organization that concentrates on keeping our customers productive, profitable, and happy with the access market space. And to do that, we really feel that our clients need all aspects of our tools and services to be put inside of their business. There is a penetration strategy for the next 12 months that we're focused on within the base of the 350. And then there's also a go-to-market strategy around these communities of interest. So I wouldn't be surprised to see us continue to focus on the healthcare market space. We feel that that's an industry that really is inefficient from a communications perspective, and we feel that our products, tools, and services could be quite useful in helping the hospitals and various healthcare entities reduce cost and at the same time make themselves more efficient and hopefully steer some of those technology savings towards the actual core of their business for healthcare. We feel that a market also exists around the air transport space, and we feel that market exists around the media space. So that's where we think our growth will come from over the next 12 months.
Sounds good. And in terms of investors, Patrick, do you think that investors understand the general direction of the company right now?
No, I don't, Juan, and that's part of the reason we want to get out and get our messaging out to the marketplace. I think whenever you do acquisitions, that you in general, need to spend enough time trying to say what was the purpose of those acquisitions, what is the long-term vision for the business. And we're using mediums like this to come out and start talking to our investors about where we stand. As I look at the business, I think we're in the very early stages. And I always tell people that we're now finally in startup mode. But sometimes that's received well and sometimes it's not, when you talk about the fact that there's real girth behind it and 350 customers and multiple millions of dollars of revenue. It doesn't sound like a startup, but we now have the final pieces to be able to go to market and help our clients with an area that's very problematic. I mean, if you look at the market space and you look at the challenges for some of the largest phone companies in the world, they will describe their challenge around the off-net access market space as being the difference between making money on a network outsource contract and not making money on a network outsource contract. So we finally feel we're in a position to really make a meaningful impact in that market. And as we do so, we think that will incrementally help us create value for our own business.
Great. And once again, joining us today is Patrick Schutt, CEO of Capital Growth Systems. DBA Global Capacity. Company is purchased over-the-counter, ticker symbol CGSY. And before we conclude, Patrick, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider CGSY as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Yeah, and I'm glad you look at the words, or you made the statement long-term. The company is in its initial phase, and we play in a very, very fragmented marketplace. We play in a market that is highly inefficient, and we're playing with the only global tool set that allows us visibility and transparency into how to make that fragmented, inefficient market efficient. And we're at that sort of early stage. So if I looked at it, I would suspect that this is a business that can have a very nice, steady growth pattern. And it's a business that will have a nice, steady growth pattern in terms of its earnings over the long period of time. I think in the short period of time, because the investment community doesn't generally understand the company's story and the fact that it sits in the over-the-counter bulletin board marketplace, it's subject to being moved around wildly, not necessarily based on its fundamentals. Therefore, there are, in our opinion, a lot of upside to the valuation of this business, but it's over a longer period of time. So my conversations with investors usually focuses around that topic as opposed to some sort of a technical trading environment. We're much more focused on building a robust, high-growth, high-profitability business.
Great. Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's progress and growth. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today.
Welcome, and again, I appreciate you and invite us on to this discussion today. We're very excited to be here.
Anytime.
Thank you.